today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin. So glad that you're joining me today for this broadcast. We've been going through a series that I'm calling Christian Smoothies. They are the fruit of the Spirit. And today we want to talk about the subject of kindness. You know, when we think about kindness, it's a personal quality that enables an individual to be sensitive to the needs of others and to take personal action to endeavor to meet those needs. You know, it's more than just being nice and agreeable. It's a quality of one's being. And matter of fact, it's part of your nature, not just a matter of personal behavior. This is a virtue that is not just an action or a personal gift that is given to someone else. It's actually part of who we are. And as you think about this fruit of the Spirit, kindness, so many people are unkind in our world today, and I get that. We live in evil times. We live in times that are very difficult, and because people are having a hard time, they have a hard time being kind. But kindness is an earmark of the new birth experience. So a mean-spirited Christian is actually a contradiction of terms. If you're a mean-spirited person, you're in essence saying, I'm not a believer in Christ. You see, we will never be the kind of person God wants us to be until we address the inner character defect and not just on the surface problems. We've got to get down below the surface to discover what is in us that is causing us not to be kind. Aesop said this, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted." You know, God is kind to us. It is because of his kindness that we're actually saved. We learn this in Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and the love of our God and our Savior have appeared to us, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs of God. You know, being kind will actually relieve you of pressures of anxiety. Proverbs 12:25 says that anxiety will weigh down a heart, but a kind word cheers him up. And we're going to talk today about kindness, and everybody needs kindness in their lives. This is a very interesting word when you think about kindness. It is actually a word that is derived from several other words. And I think the best way for us to understand the full impact of what kindness is by looking at one of the parables that Jesus used to illustrate the kindness of those who have reached out to those who are sometimes undesirable. In Luke chapter 10, this is a very common parable that we're going to look at today. It's called the Parable of the Good Samaritan. And so let's read this parable together. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Behold, a lawyer stood up, and he wanted to put Jesus to the test. And he said, 'Okay, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'What is written in the law, and how do you read it?' He says, 'You are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.'" Verse 29, "But he desiring to justify himself said to Jesus, 'Well, who is my neighbor?'" Now he's going to get all technical, right? "I'm to love my neighbor," and he just quoted that from Deuteronomy chapter 6, "I'm to love my neighbor." And so he says, "Well, who's my neighbor?" Jesus gives him this reply through a story. Jesus always spoke through stories. I love that, right? He says, "There was this man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him, and they beat him, and they left him, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, there was a priest that was going down the road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion," or he had kindness. "He went to him and bound up his wounds, and pouring on oil and wine. And he set on him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, and he gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I get back. Now, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Now, this is interesting how this guy responds to this illustration that Jesus gives. He didn't call him that one who was coming after him. He says it's that one who showed mercy. And we see that this wasn't just a person who showed mercy. This was a Samaritan, a despised person. We see here that kindness is given to those who don't deserve it, often given through those who don't even know how to provide it. We learn in Matthew 6:8 that we are to be merciful to others. What does God require of us? He requires us to do what is good, what the Lord requires of you, to walk humbly, to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. You know, there are so many great examples of truly kind people. Famous people who are very kind. And here we see this example of the Good Samaritan found in Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter 10. When we look at this story, we see that the neighbor is going and trying to find out what that means. The lawyer is trying to figure out what neighbor means. Today, in our kindness, in that virtue of being kind to people, we can think about helping an elderly person. We can think about helping a blind person. We can think about somebody who needs help along the way. Kindness is really priceless when you think about it. Like all of the virtues and good gifts, it's a blessing that is given to us as a fruit of the Spirit. As you think about this whole parable that we just read, several questions kind of jump off the page. As we examine these questions, Jesus actually gives us the answers to these questions. The lawyer comes and he's looking at the Old Testament text, and he's trying to put together some things in the Old Testament. And so he quotes some things from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he talks about loving the Lord God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and all of his strength. Now, as you notice there in that little phrase, all is there, all your mind. The lawyer is citing this, and apparently he's stressing the fact that he is willing to give all of something, but not all of his being. As you look at Leviticus 19, verses 17 and 18, it talks about not hating your brother in your heart. And if you hate your brother within your heart, your neighbor is actually going to bring rebuke to you, and that is a sin. When you see Jesus' response to this man's questions about who is my neighbor, Jesus affirms to the lawyer that he has correctly understood the importance of the Old Testament commands, but when he goes on and says, do this and you will live, he alludes to the fact that there's another text that the lawyer would have been familiar with, and that is Leviticus 18, verse number 5. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, it's important to remember the covenant relationship that God had between these two people groups. Along the Old Testament, there's a stress and a need for God's mercy as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. But the Lord has not mentioned such concepts. He's bringing it back to himself. It's almost like a works-based salvation. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Not striving after God's mercy. Why is this so important? The point is this. If an expert of the law doesn't understand this, how much easier for us to misunderstand this point that Jesus is talking about? Jesus is talking about the fact that when we receive abundant mercy, we don't deserve that mercy, we don't deserve that kindness, then we can pass it on to somebody else. It is very important for us to realize that none of us deserve kindness from God. And so we can be kind to other people because we have received kindness that we didn't deserve. There's a second question that the lawyer asks, and as he's examining himself, he looks at this second question, and basically the second question is, well, who is going to be involved in this process of kindness? I mean, the lawyer is trying to justify himself, and his second question is designed to limit the application of that command when he asks, who is my neighbor? In other words, he's trying to find a loophole, saying, if I don't know somebody, I'm not responsible for them. But Jesus defines a neighbor as anybody who has a need. We see that Jesus turns this question into an answer, and he gives it in the form of a parable, a counter to what the man said. It's interesting how Jesus does that. He looks out and he says, wherever there's a need, there's your neighbor. Reach out to that person who has a need. Be kind to that person who has a need. And as a result, you'll see God use you in a very powerful, in a very mighty way. Leviticus 19:33 says, "If a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as you love yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Israel," or the land of Egypt rather, "I am the Lord your God." You see, the lawyer certainly would have known this command to love a stranger every bit as well as he knew the command of one's neighbor. After all, it occurs just a handful of verses later on in that very same passage, but he didn't want to acknowledge the command because he really didn't want to follow it. But Jesus powerfully drives home his point in the parable by making a stranger the hero of the story. It is the Samaritan who acts and obeys the very command that the priest and the Levite failed to obey. It's the Samaritan who, himself a stranger, loves the stranger as himself. And in doing so, he treated the stranger like a neighbor, which was the point of the Levitical commandment in the very first place. But this is something that was forgiven by the priest and the Levite in the story. Instead of passing that on, they didn't. The Samaritan takes a closer look, and he sees the man, and he looks at his own resources as an opportunity to be kind to somebody else. He didn't stop and just ask himself, as the lawyer had, "Who is my neighbor?" He thought perhaps he could get some help some other way. He says, "No, I'm going to be the one that's going to be supplying for this need." The application, I think, to us is obvious, isn't it? We must be willing to sacrifice our time and our resources in order to truly help our neighbors. Indeed, our neighbors must be seen to be more important to us than our time and our money, or we have not yet begun to really love Christ. In his guide, in his parable, we learn that God is giving us various ways in which we can carry out this command. The parable is applied in virtually every aspect of our lives, from our ethics to how we conduct our lives in driving down the interstate. Compassion is the issue. The parable is applied most notably with regard to the medical services and the relief of hunger. We are to reach out to those who have a need. As you think about where the lawyer was in this particular case, like a typical Jew, he hated the Samaritans, and he refused to acknowledge them among their neighbors who were to be loved. Couldn't even bring himself to say it was the Samaritan who was the good neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves. Instead, he simply says it was he who showed mercy on him. So here's the real issue, and it finally comes to the foreground, namely the need for mercy. When Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do likewise, he is telling him to be a merciful person, to be a kind person, allowing no class, no race, no distinction to limit that demonstration of that love and that mercy. But it also means that the lawyer has to understand what true mercy is, which would involve taking time to learn about the mercy of God. In other words, I think Jesus has given this expert in the law a pretty important homework assignment. He has basically told them to go and learn about mercy. I think, as you think about homework, I hated to have homework as a kid, and I hated to do homework, but here's a good homework assignment for all of us: to go and learn about mercy, to go and recognize somebody who needs mercy and be merciful to that person. That's why I'm so involved in prison ministry. I think those men who are incarcerated need heavy doses of mercy and encouragement. And yes, I know they did the crime and they're paying the time and they're paying their debt back to society, but that doesn't mean they don't need mercy. Every one of us needs mercy and kindness. Look for opportunities this week to be a blessing to somebody. You know, we just came through Christmas, and it amazed me how kind people were to me. If you're like me, I received way more gifts than I deserved. I received way more gifts than I gave this Christmas season. It really amazed me and my wife and my family. We came home from church after doing a couple of Christmas Eve services. We went home, and we had a gathering together with our family. And when everybody was gone, we went through and opened up the gifts that we had for each other. And I bought my wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas because years ago she lost her diamond, and And so I wanted to replace that. And then I got going through all the cards and all the gift cards that people gave. So many people were so kind to me. I don't deserve all of that kindness, all of those beautiful notes and beautiful cards and money. Some of the envelopes had cash in them, and some of the envelopes had gift cards in them. Some people made us cookies, and some people gave us food. We were blessed beyond measure. God was so good to us. You think about kindness. If you really want to receive a bunch of kindness, don't worry about people being kind to you. Be kind to others. My kids, as they were growing up, sometimes battled being kind to one another. You know how it is, sibling rivalry. It was real at my house. It's probably real in your house. And I remind our children, be kind to one another. Build each other up. And I used to sing a little song that went along with that. And I won't sing it today because I have a lousy singing voice. But it says to be kind to one another. Build each other up. Are you building somebody up today? If you're discouraged today, the best way to come out of that discouragement is to build somebody else up. Encourage somebody else. Don't look inward, look outward. Look out for the opportunities to bless other people. The more you bless other people, the more you yourself will be blessed. As you are refreshed by God, go out and bless somebody today. There are so many opportunities for you to do that. As you're driving down a highway, let that person go in front of you. Don't worry about him getting there a second before you. Let him go in front of you. I promise you, you'll feel a whole lot better by being kind to that person. As you're driving down a highway, look for opportunities to be kind to people. Maybe God's placed somebody upon your heart. Why don't you pray for that person as you're driving down the highway? Look for these opportunities to bless others. This whole aspect of being kind to one another is a great opportunity for God to do great things in your life and for your life and through you. Take advantage of these opportunities that God has placed before you. I'd love to pray for you today. And as you're in this moment, and as you've thought about this whole subject, I'm going to pray that God will reveal to you somebody in your life that needs kindness, that personal quality that enables us to be sensitive to the needs of others. It is so easy to be self-centered in this day and age that we're living in. Why don't you make it a personal virtue of your life to be kind? Make it this gift that keeps on giving. Make it a gift that shows or expresses the new birth experience that you have been receiving because of Christ. Realize that you have been receiving kindness. Now you can pass that kindness on to somebody else. I remember many years ago, I was in a situation in my life where I didn't know what to do. I had no idea as to what direction I should go with my life. I was a young man trying to figure out kind of my place in life. I was trying to find myself, and I couldn't seem to find where I was supposed to be. Deep down inside, I kind of knew what God wanted me to do, but it was the kindness of many people that influenced me. It was the kindness of my father, my earthly father, who shared some things with me about characteristics that he saw in my life that really blessed me and encouraged me. It was the kindness of my sister, that shared some things with me that really blessed my heart. There was a time that I was in a very serious car accident. And in this car accident, I didn't receive any personal injury, but I greatly injured somebody else. And as a result of that car wreck, I was devastated. I went through a time of depression, went through a time of discouragement. I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't know what to do. And so my sister said, hey, why don't you come over and spend the night or spend a few days with me and your brother-in-law? You can kind of just hang out with us. And this thing will, it seems really bad right now, and it is bad, but I think after a couple of days, it'll be a whole lot better for you. So I went there, and I remember that first night, I slept on the couch, and I tossed and turned all night. I couldn't get the thoughts out of my mind of what I'd done in hurting this individual all night long, tossing and turning. I woke up the next morning, and my sister cooked me a breakfast, and she shared some things with me. And then my brother-in-law, he got up and shared some things with me and just says, you know what? This is bad. It's really bad what has happened, but this too will come to pass. They hooked me up with a guy that could help me navigate through that time, and I had a counselor that helped me step through those times and really encouraged me. You know, every once in a while, we need somebody to come into our lives and kind of speak kindness into us. Everybody needs needs that from time to time. You know, I don't think I would have made it through that time if I did not have the kindness of a sister, the kindness of a brother-in-law, the kindness of a family that supported me, the kindness of a counselor who allowed me to throw up all my trash on him, and he was gracious to me in the midst of all that. You see, I was so naive at that time, I thought everything was about me. I thought it all revolved around me. He kept reminding me there's a bigger picture here of what God is doing behind the scenes. Yes, God is forming your character, but he's also positioning you to be a blessing to somebody else. I pray today that you will reach out into kindness to somebody else. You know, I've never regretted being kind to somebody. I've often regretted being mean to somebody, being quick with somebody, being kind of snarky with somebody. I don't know about you, but I have the gift of sarcasm. I regret sometimes being so sarcastic with people. And it's tough when you have that. It's in your mind and you can't help yourself. You just want to say it. But not everything that runs through your mind has to come out of your mouth. Be kind to other people. Use words that lift them up, that encourage them. Use words that can be a blessing to them. You know, every once in a while, you're going to need somebody to be kind to you. Kindness is one of those things you pay it ahead. You pay it forward. And when you pay it forward, it comes back. It comes back multifolded. It comes back multifaceted. That's how kindness gives. It gives and it returns. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity today to look at this fruit of the Spirit, kindness. We thank you for how Paul instructs us about kindness. We thank you that we are recipients of kindness through Christ. So today I pray that we'll have this opportunity to spread the kindness with somebody today. Somebody else is out there who is hurting. And that person who is hurting may be somebody that we don't agree with. It may be somebody who is of a different nationality, a different background, a different socioeconomic status than us. But Lord, we want to reach out to them in kindness because you reached down to us in kindness. May we go in your peace today that transcends all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's Word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase. Doesn't matter. Hope for your heart. No spaces. At HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email. Give me your address. And I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us.
We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade.
If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you, so feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.